Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Anaheim Ducks at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll have Preds pick to click later in the show at 8:45, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Joe, the Preds are 5-9 to begin the season. They have lost 5 out of their last 6, 1-4 on the road trip. They come back home the other night against Arizona. They scored 5 and lost 7-5 to the Coyotes. They're up 2-0 in that game. They're up 4-2 in that game, and they end up losing 7-5. So, obviously, record-wise, it's not good. I mean, they're the worst team in the Central Division right now at 5-9 with just 10 points on the season. The Blackhawks are at 5-8, so they're right there with them. Preds have played one more game. But only Calgary, Edmonton, who just fired their coach and won the game last night with their new coach, and San Jose in the Western Conference are worse to this point. So based on what you've seen and based on where they are record-wise, what's your level of concern if you're a Preds fan right now based on what you've seen to this point?
Well, I guess level of concern would have to be tied to expectations. So I don't know what your expectations were. I still think there's a lot of Preds fandom that's like, you know what? They did these things I've been screaming about for years. They finally changed direction. And you had to know that there might be some rough stuff this year. So that's one thing. I still, and that's kind of how I looked at it. I didn't think this was going to be a playoff team. I still don't think it's going to be a playoff team. You don't want, you know, you still would like to be competitive and be in it and make it interesting and all that. I mean, certainly you want that. I mean, I watch them and I just feel like obviously there's roster holes, but also this is a new system where you've seen some benefits of it, but I don't know. Does the system have anything to do with some of the mistakes and some of the, you know, some of the defensive issues? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming so, yeah. Right? You know, so they haven't mastered everything they're trying to do. They've got some issues. And basically, if you don't have the very small group of your top players playing at a high level and finishing and all that stuff, then you know you're gonna struggle. So you know, it's to me, it's like there's no, you gotta understand what it is and look at it that way. But there are, I do think that the exciting part about this season, regardless of record and outcome, is looking at younger guys and watching them develop. And I will say that outside of, you know, I really like, you know, Evangelista is going to be good. I mean, like the Parsonen thing is disappointing right now. Obviously, Tomasino is disappointing. So that part of it is disappointing.
Yeah, they need more than what they've gotten from some of these younger guys to this point. You know, Tomasino has been in and out of the lineup. I actually think the last couple of games he's looked okay. So that part of it has been encouraging. I think he's looked as good in the last two games as he's looked all year, which is good. So I would expect that he'll probably be back in there tonight. I don't know about Parsonen. Like Parsonen, he was out for one game. He came back in there the other night, and I didn't think he was especially good the other night either. So I don't know what that's going to look like tonight for him and what that lineup will be tonight. But they need more from those two. Evangelista, I think, has been fine. He's playing well. The points are coming for him. Right now, like as a team, we can talk about the defense, which I think needs to get better, and they're going to have some decisions to make on that front coming up at some point when McDonough's ready to go again and Luke Shen is healthy. Right now, the goalie's not playing well. I mean, UC Saros has been bad if you look at the numbers. He's got an .894 save percentage, and you could tell me, well, what about the team around him? And there have certainly been games where the team around him has let him down. But you do a little bit deeper dive into the numbers. Like, I'm on Money Puck right now, and we talk about goals saved above expectation all the time.
Which is usually absurdly good for
him. Yeah, he's usually top 2, 3, 5 in the league, somewhere in that category. He's 71st right now. He's 71st in the league out of all the goalies that qualify for the stat at minus 6.2, which means he's let in about 6 goals more than he should have to this point. So he's Saros, you know, we talk about the slow starts. He's not been very good to this point. Now, I don't know that I have, like, some long-term concern with him. This is apparently just what he does. He starts seasons off poorly, and then he figures it out. And by the end of the year, I'm sure that the goal saved above expectation and all the numbers you want to point to are going to probably say that UC Saros is really, really good and that he's one of the top goaltenders in the league. So I don't have any long-term concerns with him. But right now, this team is nowhere near good enough to overcome bad UC Saros play, and right. That's what they're getting.
Yeah. I mean, if this team was going to make any kind of run and hang in the playoff race, it's you start with him being great.
Yeah.
That's very those numbers are surprising. I do what do you think? I mean, I rip on Pro Football Focus all the time. I do feel like some of hockey analytics are a little more reliable,
yeah,
in my opinion. But I don't know. It's like when they brought Lankinen in and we were all like, all the underlying numbers are awful, but they must have their own that say something else, right? And then he ended up being good, so I don't know.
Well, I think the thing about these type of numbers in hockey is you have to let them go for like 40, 50 games and get like an actual sample size as to what you're seeing here. So, I mean, things can change. Like, you know, the encouraging part about it is in terms of where the team's at right now is Forsberg is heating up. He played great the other night against Arizona. He's got 17 points in 14 games, and until on the road trip, he had I think his second goal of the season came in the Edmonton game, and it was like, is he going to start scoring goals at some point? Well, he started. He's up to 6 now, and he looks like he's on one of those heaters that we've seen him get on before. So that part of it's good. I mean, I still think he and O'Reilly have played pretty well together. They got to defend a little bit better than they have to this point, but the offensive part of it for them looks like it's coming around. The expectation part of this is interesting because I agree with you. Like, I don't think this is a playoff team. I didn't think it was a playoff team heading into the year. I had a whole lot of mad Predators fans Saturday night in my Twitter mentions. A lot of them mad about the way that things have gone to this point.
Sure. I mean, once you get to the season, and especially if you're a fan, spends money to go to the games, I get it. Yeah, you want to see a better product than this. So, I mean, they haven't played well. I get it. It's a matter of, like, mad in the moment when you're watching a game and it's like, wow, that's really bad. And mad, then you step away and can you see the big picture still?
Right.
I'm sure some of those people later went home and
I would assume
to their mom's basement and said, I feel okay about things.
Ben on the text line says, zero concern. This will take time. We do need to trade Yossi eventually in his prime because we won't be contenders again soon enough. Obviously, if he agrees to waive his no trade clause. This is from Ben on the text line.
Oh, I can promise you, Ben, that's not the plan.
I don't think so.
Trading him and also not being contenders soon enough. But I have no idea if the plan is going to work.
Yeah. It's one thing to have a plan.
This next offseason, I think they're going to start, they're going to start looking different. And they're gonna do some things. They're gonna make some moves.
Raymond on the text line says they are just the Titans of the NHL right now, disappointing and underperforming. The Titans of the NHL.
Hmm.
I don't know if the situations are exactly the same.
No, they kind of cross paths with the sort of being in the middle. You don't want to be in the middle.
Yep.
It's kind of where the Titans, were last year, but. I mean, the Preds have embraced, obviously, change and trying to rebuild, The Titans are kind of getting smacked in the face with it.
By the way, we talked about trying to make a big move and how that, maybe the Predators try to do that again this next offseason. Well, draft night, there was all this chatter about the Preds trying to move into the top three and get, or at least the top five, but top three, I think, specifically, to try to get one of these guys. And you look at the way that the picks have gone down here. So Leo Carlson goes to Anaheim, who they'll see tonight. He's got 8 points in 10 games, 6 goals, 2 assists. Adam Fantilli goes to Columbus. He's got 9 points, 15 games, 4 goals, 5 assists. And we know Bedard. I mean, Bedard is heating up right now. There's a reason Barry Trotz was trying like heck to get in the top five. These kids are good, and this next draft is not quite like that.
So what you're saying is that's a long way of you saying that when I said I wouldn't trade for the number three pick and you said you would, you were right and I was wrong?
That is correct.
Yes. All right. That's fine. I'll take the L on that one.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What are your thoughts on the Preds? Are you concerned with the start to the season? Is it about what you expected heading into the year? We'll take your thoughts on all that. More next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. See your Preds star players up close and personal. This week's special guests are the goalies, Kevin Lankinen and UC Saro. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Speaking of the Predators and UC Saros, Dustin from Antioch on the text line says, I expected growing pains, but did not expect those pains to be Saros-related. His play has been extremely underwhelming. This is from Dustin from Antioch. I get it. Again, I would not be long-term concerned about Saros. He's going to be fine. He'll figure it out.
Yes.
There's a long body of work that suggests to me that he's going to figure it out.
And that this is the trend.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was that bad in terms of goals above expected, after a month of last year, but it's right in the same realm.
He'll get better. I mean, I did go to practice yesterday, and he was on the ice 30 minutes before it began. So He gets it. He knows. It'll be fine.
A little extra practice.
Yep.
All right.
Matthew from Jolton on the text line says, I'm completely okay with losing right now. The roster wasn't good enough to compete over the last 3 or 4 years, but we tried to extend the cup window that was shut quick, and Poyle couldn't accept it. This from Matthew from Jolton. On the text line. He says, seems to be okay. Travis on the text line, or actually Trevor on the text line, put it out there about some odds that came out. I think Michael Gallagher put this out last night of NHL coaches to be fired, like the greatest odds, and apparently Andrew Burnett was third on the list. I'm like, guys, they could lose every game the rest of the year. I don't think Andrew Burnett's going to get fired.
Yeah, like,
I don't have to worry about
that. That's where,
literally just hired him.
But one of my least favorite, Vegas knows. It's like, so often they don't. Sometimes they do. Sometimes a line turns out to be dead on. Like, Vegas always knows. No, they don't always know. I mean, that's nonsensical. That's complete nonsense. Like, if you're an odds maker and there's a first-year coach for a team that has signed up officially for a rebuild – how would that coach not automatically be about like 5,000 to 1?
That for the life of me can't understand those odds. Third highest in the league.
But don't worry, Vegas knows.
April in Portland says they're a young team with a new coach, new system. I did not have high expectations. I thought they may be a bubble playoff team at best. They should have won the game Saturday night. I was okay with them losing and playing well, but Saturday night and against Calgary, they looked awful. No trading Yossi, by the way. That's from April from Portland.
No trading Yossi.
Look, I do have them on the bubble, right? Like, heading into the year, I think I had them fourth in the division and missing out on the playoffs because I thought five from the Pacific would make it. We'll see. Right now, Chicago's not good. They're not a good team. They do have an exceptional young player, and he is going to be outstanding. Like, Minnesota, they're not very good. Arizona, who came in here the other night and beat the Predators, they're better. They're better than they have been. I still don't think they're great. And St. Louis is average. So, like, it's not like there's this long list of great teams in front of the Predators in the division. The division is, especially at the top, exactly what I thought it would be. It's Dallas, Colorado, and then there's everybody else. Winnipeg has played way better than I thought they would to this point. They ain't Dallas and Colorado. It's Dallas, Colorado, everyone else. Dallas and Colorado, I predict, by the time April rolls around, will be like 13 points up on everybody else in the division. They're really good. They're both Stanley Cup contenders. Those are the only two teams in the division that are Cup contenders, in my mind.
Thanks to Joey and Duchesne creating good cultures in both spots.
By the way, both those guys playing pretty well.
They are playing pretty well.
They are.
They're good complementary pieces at this point. They're not primary pieces.
I thought the decision for Duchesne once he gets bought out to go to Dallas was genius. And he's like the He's like the fifth guy there in forward, which is about what he needs to be, right? And he's playing really well. He's scoring goals. And Johansson's on the power play with McKinnon and McCarr and Rantanen. And that's working out pretty well for him from a goal-scoring perspective. So it's worked out okay for those two.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the – I mean, you got to give Duchesne a really good video tribute, right?
Yeah. He's your single-season goal-scorer leader.
All-time goal-scoring leader. It's such a weird – tenure he had here. It was mostly everybody mad at him all the time.
I know.
And very disappointing, year. But then he also is your all-time single-season goal
just
scorer.
Outstanding play. Yeah.
Wild.
I don't know. It is wild. Skeeter from Spring Hill on the text line says, when do you bring up young talent to see if they can help you at all? I think we're a little bit ways off from that. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if there's, you know, a call-up at some point relatively soon, like, Igor Afanasyev has gotten off to a pretty good start in Milwaukee, so could he be a call-up at some point here in the not-too-distant future? I could see that. But, like, if you're asking about, you know, a Joachim Kimmel or a Svechkov or, you know, one of your first-round picks that's been down there, I don't think you're
listen
saying
to what Barry
them anytime soon.
Yeah, listen to what Barry Trotz says. Take it seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I unless there's just this rash of injuries like they saw the second half of last year, you're probably going to see those guys in Milwaukee, if not all year, the majority of the season. And then you figure it out after that. So, that's the thing. Like, there is, we've talked about this, with the roster right now, there's this idea that this is a really, really young team. And it's really not. Like, the veteran roster, like, the roster right now has got a lot of veterans on it. They are actually one of the, they're not, like, old, but they're on, like, the middle of the pack. They're like 20th in the NHL in average age. So it's an older team than I think people realize that it is right now.
Yeah. But it's like old or young. I mean, you know, Josi and Forsberg aren't old yet, but there's like kind of a gap.
Yeah. Like McDonough's been around for a long time. You know, O'Reilly's been around a while. Nyquist's been around a while. Like, they've got some veteran, Luke Shen, when he gets back in there, it's been around a while. So they've got some veteran pieces. And then it's like, oh, well, Tomasino's 22, and Parsons 21, and Evangelista's 21. So kind of extremes there.
It's because of what?
Culture. Yeah. I'm interested to see how they play tonight. I mean, Anaheim, they're playing better than people thought they would. But
they're not complete cheeks anymore.
No, it's two teams that are in similar spots, though. Like, they're both trying to kind of rebuild and have their next wave come up. And Anaheim is trying to do it by getting one of those high-level draft picks. We're going to see him tonight. He looks pretty good. And you're doing it kind of a different way. And we'll see how that goes for you. But an interesting game from that standpoint tonight. Gone are the days of the Johansson-Kessler-Anaheim Ducks rivalry, which
yeah,
I miss
it's
intensely.
Just, I know. It's amazing how they fade out. You know, that was so great, so intense. Who's the most hated team now for the Nashville Predators? Just the Blackhawks, just because it's Chicago Blackhawks.
It's the Blackhawks.
And they got Bedard.
Because of the history and because of what I think Predators fans know is getting ready to happen. It's just the obsession of Connor Bedard league-wide. And I get it. The dude's pretty good. And he's going to be a problem for a long time. So it's still the Blackhawks, I think. Which, by the way, you'll see them Saturday. They're coming in Saturday. So a nice old rivals this week. The Ducks coming in tonight. Then they're off for 3 days in a row. And Bedard and the Blackhawks coming in on Saturday.
And that's
sure he'll get
thing.
A warm reception.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the thing. You know, you are looking at these two teams, totally different. It's not the same anything of what it used to be. But you're looking at two guys who, you know, they know who's kind of driving their play moving forward or what they're building around, right?
Yeah.
And the Preds are built around still older guys.
They are. Skeeter says thinking maybe Gurianov could get called up. I wouldn't call him a young guy. I don't know.
How old is he?
Gurianov? He's
like 28?
I think he's maybe older than that.
He's not in his 30s yet, is he?
He's 26, so he's younger than I thought.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Youngish?
Youngish. He's not 19. Let's put it that way. 615-737-1025. Nick, your thoughts on the matchup tonight between the Preds and the Ducks?
Should be a good one. By the way, Trevor Zegras will not be playing.
Doesn't look like
He is on injured reserve, so no, he's definitely not playing. He's been dealing with a lower body injury, I think, throughout training camp, and it's bled into the season. So not great for him. But I think that tonight what you'll see is – and I do think that Uso Parsonen plays. I got to catch up with him yesterday a little bit, and I asked him about being scratched. And he said that he and Brunette sat down, and Brunette had kind of told him that, hey, there are these few things that I don't like about your game. And then Uso talked about games that he didn't like, and then – you know, those two came together, and then he said, you're not going to play in this last game. And so it was more of a statement for him to just have a game to himself. So that's the insight there. He's very open about that. And so I'm glad that he honestly was. But look, I think for him, one thing he brought up to me was using his size. And so yep. He knows that he needs to do that. And I think that he's played really well when he can do that. So I'm kind of curious to see where he's utilized in the lineup. I mean, he skated with Glass and Tomasino last time out, and quite frankly, I think it was okay. I don't think it was stellar, but I think that they could play better as well. That's kind of like another line that you envision hopes does well. Novak had the day off yesterday, so we'll probably see him back in, and I don't think we're going to see too many lineup changes this evening. Maybe somebody gets in over another, like maybe a McCarron over a Foodie possibly, but I kind of doubt it. But yeah, I think the response tonight, that's an important one to have, especially after scoring 5 goals. And that was only the 7th time in franchise history that you've lost a game when you score 5 goals in a game. So that was disappointing. And I think UC Saros is, you know, not looking like himself. I think him stumbling over himself around the crease, not something you want to see. But I think that as he continues to have the puck lanes open for him to see the shots and anything else, that's going to be crucial for him because he is smaller. And that's just been the whole narrative for him his entire time playing is he's smaller. So how can the Predators make it easier on him just a little bit as well? So we'll see what they do this evening. So it should be interesting.
Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock. Here on 102.5, 106.3, the game.
You had to just call him out for being tiny, huh?
Just
it's not had to. The narrative. No. He actually is small.
He is, yeah.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road at 7:45. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Join 102.5, the game's Chase and Big Joe show tomorrow on the road at Black Tap Craft Burgers and Beer from 9 to 1 p.m. You could stop by and enter for your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game, Black Tap gift cards, and more. Located downtown Nashville at 143rd Avenue North, just across from the Batman building, Chase and Big Joe, their show from 9 to 11. They'll be out there until 1 p.m. tomorrow. So looking forward to that. We'll go back in. Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans. Titans back in action this week. They'll be taking on Jacksonville. We'll get into the matchup specifically with Jacksonville a little bit later in the week. It is, you know, Vrabel addressed the media yesterday. A lot of the press conference yesterday was about the offensive line and the player acquisition about the offensive line. It was interesting to hear him talk about, and you brought this up earlier, basically without saying specifics and who he was talking about, basically just in some ways kind of admitting that Andre Dillard was a mistake. He's like, yeah, you know, you kind of look at it in the offseason and you think about, did the player have the right opportunity? Could that opportunity, if he gets more of it, could he improve when you get here and you take chances and you know, you try to coach him up when they get here? And he didn't come out and say Andre Dillard's name, but that's kind of the person that came to mind when he was going through that process of the idea of bringing in some of the offensive linemen that they brought in.
Yeah, now Daniel Brunskill and Azeez Al-Shaair are also examples of that to some extent, backups now getting an opportunity to start. You know, but of those guys, obviously Dillard is by far the most disappointing, I would say.
I would say
anybody would say that. Yeah. It kind of felt that way. But that is the story of their last offseason, right?
Yeah.
It's low cost. But the thing is, like, you know, I've heard Jared, I've heard other people say, you know, you get what you pay for, you know, with Andre Dillard. Well, no, they're not getting what they paid for. I mean, it is cheap relative to some left tackles. He's not a top shelf starting left tackle in this league, which commands a big number. But, you know, the number they gave him, you're talking what? They get 13 guaranteed, 3 year 29. And again, they're going to be able to get out of it after this year. But that's not paying for someone to come in and say, please, let me grab you and throw you at my quarterback a few times. I mean, you know, it's not.
Slingshot, engage.
Yeah, yeah. Here, just jump. Here's put your foot in my hand, and I'm just going to vault you over there. No, so they're not getting what they paid for.
Poor Andre Dillard.
Yeah, I know. And it's – I mean, look, it was a – first of all, we talk about second-guessing. Go back to when they signed him. Go back to before they signed him. And there was plenty of
first
talk about him. Absolutely. But it's not first guessing that it was a bad idea.
No.
I mean, there was a lot of talk of, like, you know, hey, look at the Eagles, you know, and they just loaded, and it didn't quite work out. But this could be a sneaky, brilliant move. And obviously, it's just that he's not good enough.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jaden. Jaden, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. So I just wanted to get something off my chest. I know Titans Twitter is an absolute shambles right now, and the idea that Vrabel's on the hot seat for everything going on to me is just an absolute terrible take. You look at the team that he was given going into this year, going back to last year when Robinson was fired in the middle of the year, and unless he's the one that makes the decisions on who comes on this team, and I know he makes the decision on who goes onto the offensive line every year or every week, but the idea of Vrabel being on the hot seat for what's going on in the team he was given this year, I don't know. I just think that's a terrible take, and I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Yep, thanks for the call, Jaden. Appreciate it.
It keeps coming back to this, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's what it's going to be, right? Like, when you're 3-13 in your last 16 games, the coach is going to be the big part of the conversation. So I get that. I agree mostly with what Jaden is saying there. Like, the offense has been terrible for 2 years. A lot of that is roster related. I do think some of it has been coaching related, and they got to get that part figured out. But the roster's not good. We've gone through the roster and what that looks like. Now, that's what makes the next part of this moving forward, is because the perception is that Vrabel is now more involved with the roster. That's what makes this interesting moving forward, because now when you're more involved with the roster and you're the coach, those two things go hand in hand. Like, you can't have the crutch anymore of, oh, well, the roster's not good enough as they move forward. I don't think, like, right now, I think you're still feeling some of the effects of, you know, what John Robinson wasn't able to do and some of the missed draft picks and all those things. I did hear Jared talk about this yesterday, though, and it's, you know, he's got a point. I mean, this offensive line has nothing to do with John Robinson in terms of the way they addressed it. Like, it's obviously, you can go back to Isaiah Wilson and Dylan Raidens and some of the selections that they made, which is why they're in the position that they're in with the offensive line. They chose to address it this offseason the way that they did, and it's not worked out well to this point. Now, I also don't think there were a ton of great options out there at offensive line this past offseason, but that's a long way of me saying the roster crutch that I think is still valid for a lot of the things we're talking about with this team right now for Vrabel, that's going to go away over the next couple of years.
Right. And, I mean, first of all, hot seat. Someone else texted in, of course. I agree. Like, hot seat, like, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, I don't think this Patriots stuff is completely just made up smoke, right? So it would be quite silly to fire Mike Vrabel when you actually might be able to trade him.
Exactly.
So first of all, I don't think that there's an actual real hot seat right now. And I think the biggest concern is how much of the personnel issues they have right now can be traced to his input. Some, and, you know, evaluating players. Rand Carthon is here. Rand Carthon is the GM, you know, but Vrabel is going to obviously have a big say in what they're doing. Is that a weak spot for him? You know, I don't know. Like you said, it's going to be, I mean, this next offseason alone is going to be critical.
Yep.
And there's going to be a lot of choices made that we're going to know a year from now, right? I mean, we already know what Andre Dillard is. So we're going to find out a lot in the years to come. You know, Craig says something that's a very popular Vrabel narrative, which is if Vrabel doesn't stop hiring his friends or hiring from within, nothing will change. Actually take coaching searches seriously. Well, I mean, go back to last offseason. He went out and got Chris Harris. I mean, he fired Anthony Midgett, and he went out and got Chris Harris, which is just a guy who was had a great reputation in the NFL, was being pursued to be a D coordinator by one or two teams, I believe, and he won and got him in here. It hasn't been some amazing, you know, transformation, but which I still think is, again, they're struggling with personnel back there. And now even more so, they traded Kevin Byard. But I'm just saying there's an example of Vrabel going outside. It hasn't been, you know. The hiring his friends thing, it's like you hire people you worked with that you trust that you think are good.
Right.
Not just, I mean, I'm sure Vrabel's got like some drinking buddies from Ohio State who, hey, Mike, yeah, come on, man, be my new O-line coach. I mean, I don't think it's quite that, right? I mean, it's people you trust, people that you believe that they're good is who you hire, and every coach does that. Although, I do agree that you need to be open to the idea of different ideas and different philosophies and all that.
Although maybe they could give one of his Ohio State drinking buddies a shot on the offensive line right now. I mean, be worth a try, right?
How about Luke Fickell?
Well, I don't know if he needs to play offensive line.
Tough year at Wisconsin. Maybe Fickell wants to join the Titans staff.
OC? Tim Kelly, move aside. Luke Fickell's coming in, baby.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Well, Luke Fickell's a D guy.
He is a D guy. Yeah, you're right.
That's a big guy growing up. You know,
Shane, see ya. Here comes Luke Fickell.
Yeah, he was co-DC under Herbs.
What a staff that was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great staff. Great staff. Urban, by the way. Where's he going? You going to go to Texas A&M?
That'd be something. Jimbo, here's $76 million, and now we're going to get Urban Meyer.
I mean, if they're crazy enough to do what they just did.
I know.
And I'd love to see it because he'd max out at 8-4 and they'll lose their minds.
Speaking of crazy college football coaches, we're going to get into that coming up next. It's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Here on Robbie and Rex Road. I'm looking forward to this one coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Jerome, what does it mean to you?
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh. Love you, man. Love the out of you, man. This is for you. For this university, the president, our AD, we got the best players, best university, best alumni in the country. Love you guys. These guys right here, man. These guys did it, man. Talk to him, man. Love you.
Thank you, Coach.
It's that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45.
Let's just get all the completely idiotic, inane things said by University of Michigan people in the last few days. You have the Harbaugh yesterday? Oh, you don't have the Harbaugh? Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you that Jim Harbaugh yesterday had a nice comment about how Michigan should be America's team now because of all the adversity they're going through. Here's a
everyone loves an underdog.
Yeah. You know, that's going through adversity, which is adversity that's self-created. But Santa Ono, the University of Michigan president, here's a tweet that he sent out the other day. He said, quote, "Countless members of the University of Michigan family have reached out to me over the weekend. I wanted to express my appreciation. Like any community, we face our share of challenges and adversity. There have been many such moments in our history, but as our team showed so clearly yesterday, we will respond to any challenge head on with a conviction to do better and to emerge even stronger. Go Blue!" End quote. Harbaugh's not dead. What in the hell? I mean, again, he just had a press conference yesterday saying how Michigan should be America's team. This is one of the weirdest. Like, Harbaugh is actually creating a nation full of Ohio State fans.
Yeah.
I mean, this entire thing is just insane. Now, I wrote a column the other day for The Athletic about the Harbaugh situation, because I do disagree with the suspension. I think it's a weird half measure, and I think, sad as it is, you got to let investigations go through and actually interview coaches on the staff and do the whole thing, and then you're going to have punishment. It's not going to be satisfying. It's going to be down the road, and that's still going to happen. I think the Big Ten invoking the sportsmanship rule, this new commissioner, Tony Petitti.
He got bullied into it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And then if you're going to get bullied into it, then do something. I mean, he's taking him out for three regular season games. He can coach his team during the week. And also, I do believe this. Look, I equated this to Katie and I had an Italian restaurant in Michigan we used to go to. They had a health code violation. Guess where we were the first day they opened up? We were there. First of all, they gave half off. But also, I'm like, this is the cleanest kitchen in the whole city. Yeah, I promise you.
It's the best time to go.
Like, right now, I'd eat off the kitchen floor right now. Okay? Let's go. They just had health code violations. It's just like the Michigan football team right now. Like, they cheated. And so now I actually believe that they're on the up and up. And they played their first actual game of the season.
Saturday, they did.
And it was a good win at Penn State. I mean, James Franklin, this could be another separate rant, as an in-game coach is horrific. And it's 14-9. They score a big touchdown. You have momentum in the first half, yeah, and you go for two to make it 14-11. Take a free freaking point.
It's unbelievable.
And then later, he has to go for two. It's just, dude, it's so frustrating.
It's moronic.
Yeah, that's Penn State is just, they're solidly third, and that's just what they're going to be with James Franklin. But Michigan, I believe, like J.J. McCarthy, I said it last week. No, I would, although he probably lost the Heisman because he didn't even throw a pass in the second half. You know, but I'm just saying, like, he shouldn't be dismissed as a candidate because of the cheating and all that stuff. But Michigan actually acting like, and again, like their university president. I mean, the Big Ten did present like a 10-page explanation of the suspension with quite a bit of stuff. Like, if you're the president of the University of Michigan, like, your coaching staff has cheated.
Yes, clearly.
And so I'm trying to think, like, this is where we are as a society, where, like, if you have a good football team, it really, everything else about a university doesn't mean crap. I guess. Like, imagine if this was, like, student fraud or something. Thank you for reaching out in our time of adversity. Like, what are you saying to people? But this is, university presidents are, they're just there to support the football team a lot of places like this. And Michigan has been a football factory. They've never been any better or different, you know, like because they have a good university. They've had the same exact standards for athletes and all that stuff as anybody else who's a football factory. And now they're winning, and they have a team that might win it all, and they cheated. And they're trying to actually play it like they're the victim and they're going through adversity and people would be rooting for them. It's wild.
The Sherrod Moore post-game interview that we heard coming into this segment here was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. I'm watching the end of the game, which, by the way, kudos to all of you who actually watched this game on Saturday. I did. I stuck with it. It was a brutal watch. Like, trying to watch Penn State play football offensively is terrible.
It's tough.
So Michigan wins, and I was interested to see, like, the post-game interview and, you know, whether or not I thought that they were going to get in there and, like, start talking crap and, like, just running their mouth. When he started crying, I was like, what is happening here? He is crying on national television as if Jim Harbaugh is laid up dead somewhere and it's not 5 minutes down the road in the hotel that you're about to go see.
He's at the Outback.
Yeah, he's just hanging out. I'm like, what is happening here? You guys cheated and you're sitting here crying on national television for your coach. It was unbelievable. And then the Harbaugh comments yesterday to top it off of being America's team. You know, I think this ought to be America's team, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody loves somebody who beats the odds.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
that they created.
That you created yourself. I don't know that there's, you know, an excess of people rooting for Michigan to succeed at the end of this year.
I don't want to go, you know, you always got to take, you know, whatever you see on social media or the internet with a grain of salt. But I wrote this column about Michigan and essentially saying, like, I think that this team, this season shouldn't be tainted. Now, look, it may be vacated after the fact. Okay, that's different. But I do. I if they win it all right now, I recognize them as national champs. Got 561 comments on this column. About 554 of them said, I'm the biggest idiot in the history of mankind, and I'm canceling my subscription because you're such an idiot. Now, were 99% of those people, were they Michigan State and Ohio State fans? Probably.
Probably so.
But I think there's a little bit of a an idea of like the where America is on Michigan football.
Also, I love
not
the,
super high.
I love the almost called him Shamar Moore. It's a completely different person altogether. Sharon Moore, post game interview of, I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. Beep beep beep. Yeah, beep. Yeah. Just right after that, it's like, okay, cool. All right.
Thank you, God. You MFers are the best. Yeah. No, like you said before the show, no dumping, bleeping, you know, there's supposed to be a
delay
element here. They just let it rip, man. Just let it rip.
Right out there over the air, and I was like, man, this is he's crying and saying every curse word in the book right in the middle of this post-game interview.
I mean, it is amazing. The whole thing, the Big Ten has become just a complete bleep show.
Josh, speaking
of bleeps.
Yeah, Josh from Lebanon on the text line says, as a Michigan fan, all I can do is shake my head with the comments made after the win versus Penn State. This is a big win for Michigan against Penn State, and that's being overlooked by everything. You run the ball 30 times and throw it once and still win. This is from Josh from Lebanon.
That is true.
I would shake my head at the comments after the game, too. But they did. It was pretty funny, and they just turned around and handed it off. Like, I think the actual number was 26 times in a row they ran the ball.
That's wild. And that's, you know, look, that's a heck of a defense. Penn State's offense is atrocious. But Penn State's defense is very good. I mean, legit D. So, it's interesting. I mean, Michigan, they might win it, man. They might just win it. And wouldn't that just be perfect? Wouldn't that be a perfect way? And then we wait and see if the title gets vacated in about like a year and a half after the investigation's
it's
over.
Complete. William from Madison says, James Franklin still coaches like he's at Vanderbilt. He thinks he has to take chances in games. With that said, I take him back. This is from William from Madison on the text line.
Yeah.
Franklin is, you talk about contracts. You know, Jimbo just got fired and they owed $76 million. When they signed Franklin, was it either last year or the year before to that 10-year extension? I was like, really? 10 years for that guy. Interesting.
Well, he is a program builder for sure. I think he does a lot of good things. But, yeah, like just the in-game decisions are just – it's pretty consistent. It's kind of like what's his name with the Cowboys? Like
Gundy?
Your guy. No, your guy.
Oh, Mike McCarthy. I thought you meant the Oklahoma State Cowboys. My bad.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, like it's kind of like McCarthy a little bit, right? Like overall, you feel like he's a good coach, but then it's like it's way too many head scratching decisions.
Yeah.
So, but well, anyway,
what else?
Go
will
blue.
Michigan State this week.
Go blue.
Coming up Leaders next, best. We'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and we'll get his thoughts on the Titans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.